Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, boys, and according to our analytics, even more boys. My name is Adam Peary, and you join us for the NXT 2.0. That's my twist on the classic. The NXT 2.0 preview with myself, Adam Cleary, and Michael Sidgwick, filling in, of course, for Adam Wilborn and whoever the hell else would normally be here, I presume Hamflip. But if you're a fan of this sort of thing, don't forget to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your dirty little podcasts from for a daily wrestling podcast where we review and preview Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, everything that goes on in the world of pro wrestling, as well as the occasional interview, a roundtable, a discussion, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Card subject to change. But as I say, I am joined by one half of the Dadley Boys, by the pinnacle, the premier author here at What Culture Towers, Michael Sidgwick, who not only wrote an incredible book about AEW called Becoming All Elite, which you can check out now from whatculture.bigcartel or on Amazon, but also, not too many moons ago, knew a little thing or two about NXT. Now, look, I'm not wanting to toot my own cock. I used to do my own NXT show as well. So I think, given that we are at a skeleton staff this week, I think we're still bringing quite a lot of NXT-orientated grey matter to this podcast. So I'm expecting good things. I'm expecting big things from this podcast.
Such a dig.
Why?
Just pressure.
I'm just trying to get... Look, I get the energy up.
Okay.
Gotta get the energy up.
You've got no cynical motivations.
No, I see the new colour scheme of NXT. I see the vibrancy, the light of it. I see... And I just think, yes, this is a show that everybody wants to get into.
Clip that, someone. I see and I go, yes.
That's something I want to get into.
To be fair, Wilborn does that unironically. So.
Yes. Although, well, actually, to be fair, there's lots for us to get our teeth into, no pun intended, because they've actually announced absolutely loads for NXT tonight, almost as if they were going up against another pro wrestling show. They never used to do this when I used to cover it, but tonight, we've got quite a lot going on.
It's the best show on wrestling television, NXT 2.0, in bits, for about an accumulated 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's such perverse joy. It is just fantastic. It's starting to lose steam as a schadenfreude attraction, but it was the best thing ever for like a month and a half. It was like five new characters debut every show. It was very much
one
like...
One of them's from The Sopranos.
Yes, it's very much like, you know when you can tell that a long-running, like, teen sitcom, some of the cast members get plucked to do movies. They're the ones who are pegged for films. Then all of a sudden, it's like, it's Johnny's cousin, who we've never mentioned once. He's been here the whole time.
Well, actually, funny you should mention that, because the main event tonight is Von Wagner versus Pucci.
It's so Pucci. Pucci and NXT 2.0 are virtually the same thing. It is so... Perfect.
This is the rocking dog of the NXT universe.
It's the rocking dog of WWE. It is how do we, as hopelessly out of touch white people, try and attract the youth that we've long since passed by? And the result is NXT 2.0, which at its best is incredibly piss poor. But
yeah. Look. I think that they had to do something.
Yes, they did.
Look, I understand there will have been about 400 podcasts done
before
I took this
chair. Not with your perspective.
No, well, I felt the weight of expectation and the weight of AEW and the weight of just Vince dangling around. The last few weeks I was doing the review, you could feel that something was just... It felt like they'd used up every good idea, every big match, every major feud, and in the process of trying to make every week's television super exciting, and it all had to feel like a takeover, and it all had to go at a million miles an hour, they'd not been able to really develop anybody new. They hadn't had that revolving door policy, and of course, the logjam at the top of NXT now existed because they weren't having all these great stars plucked every couple of months to go onto the main roster. So now you felt like you had a show that was 50% takeover main eventers and 50% people you couldn't possibly care less about.
Yeah.
There was no subtlety to it. There was no variety to it whatsoever. So obviously when they did the rebrand, I was like, do you know what? Yeah, whatever they're doing has to be worth a shot. And the few times I've checked in with it, see how my old pal's getting on, I've been thoroughly entertained. I've not been impressed.
Yes.
I've not been compelled to come back the next week.
Yes.
But I have gone, hey, that's like, it's, you know what NXT's like for me now? You know, when you were growing up, you probably had at least one friend who was like a power drinker. And they were getting all the best scrapes and scenarios. They would have all the sexiest adventures. And you used to want to tag along with that.
Yes.
Because like, oh, you know, you'd have your little bottle of Vicky or something. But they were like doing the shots. They were that guy. It feels like now when I see NXT, it feels like bumping in the pub in your 30s at Christmas. Because they're even worse now. Like they're still like, they're like an assistant bar manager or something. Like they've moved away. But they're still trying to be that like incredibly impressive session drinker, which to you, I remember that. That probably was a lot of fun back then, but I've got a mortgage now. You know, I need things to be slightly more considered and refined. And it upsets me to see that you've changed in a superficial way. Yes, you dress differently, certainly. Maybe it's a fancy haircut you've got. Probably a sleeve tattoo, for example. But fundamentally...
Or going from straightened hair to like... Poofed up quick.
Yeah, there's just
deal.
There's some very superficial changes, but you are deep down just still the same big mess that I used to find very impressive, and now I just worry about in the long term.
Yes,
how much longer can you possibly keep going? Surely this is all gonna catch up with you eventually. That labored analogy. That's how I feel about NXT.
Yes.
It's nice to see it in the pub at Christmas, and I hope it looks after itself in the long run. But also, I just feel like I've moved on.
Dead at 50.
Yeah, right. So anyway, speaking of which, right, the lineup for tonight is actually quite stacked. There's a lot
to... actually do some thought.
It does appear there's quite a lot of thought.
Bad thought can be thought.
I'm trying to work out. I've got my little list of the six things that have been announced at the time.
Six
things that have been announced at the time of recording. And I don't know where... Do you want to go in at the top or do you want to go in at the bottom?
Retention is key.
Retention, good idea. Yes, we'll keep that for the... Right, so at the bottom... Von Wagner will appear.
Yes.
Yes, he will.
Von Wagner, my God. We love him here at What Culture Towers. Yeah. He's developed into quite the meme.
Quite the meme.
He's a great and a bad meme because you'll never get numbers talking about Von Wagner because NXT 2.0 is so very niche, doesn't track, and yet he's so fun to impersonate.
Please feel free.
Calm Tuesday. Von Wagner saw an opportunity and he jumped on it. My favorite thing about Von Wagner is he doesn't get out. Just doesn't get out. OWT, out. Understanding. Just
right.
Didn't get it. It's like, you know, the teleprompter gag from Anchorman.
Yes.
It's like that, but with WWE copy instead of someone doing with the controls. So he had a line the other week and it was meant to be something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, of... But my war has just begun.
Oh, yes, I did see this. Yes, yes. He McGillicuddy'd it a bit, didn't he?
Yeah. But because he's trained to speak in WWE speak, yeah, you might have won that battle, but my NXT TakeOver war games have just begun. He didn't say it like that, but he did say my war games.
Oh,
it's like, no, that's just
no.
the name of the show you've disappeared on.
Oh,
you're
no.
Meant, you're meant to be doing a little pun on the thing. So my NXT TakeOver war games on the WWE network, they've just begun. The guy's... got weird energy.
Yeah.
The guy is... I just love it. And I say this on every podcast, and I'm sorry, but I'll never get over the wonder that is Von Wagner. He's a guy who's not prepared for television. So much so that I genuinely feel a bit sorry for the guy. Like, he's not camera ready. He's not natural in front of the camera, nor is he comfortable in front of the camera. He's decent mechanically. I'll give him that without being blown away. Whenever he's in a match with a great wrestler, he's often exposed. But, you know, he can do his bit. Just doesn't feel like a TV star. It just feels like that's what my famous, quasi-famous dad did, so I should do it. He's simply very tall. And, like, that's enough.
That's enough, isn't it?
They just go, ah, oh, he's big him.
What's interesting, this is me agreeing with your point, even though if you break down the sentence I'm about to say, that's not what I'm doing. Everything you've just said there, he's not a particularly compelling screen presence. He is not ready for TV. And yet, when I've watched him on television, I am enraptured by the television.
You know the paradox of Von Wagner? In terms of storylines, because people out there might care, like we don't. He's beaten Kyle O'Reilly out of the territory.
Yep.
So I think next job for him is to just mutilate loads of lads on a pursuit of championship glory.
I would concur with that, because he's scheduled to appear.
Yes.
So you'd imagine this is going to be another unmissable hand, mic, ring segment. I can't remember. I don't know what sentence I was going for there.
Yeah,
it fell out in a roughly understandable order. I think this could be one of these can't-miss speaking segments of his.
I hope
possibly
so.
Followed by some... you know what this smacks of to me? Stooge ring helper gets beat up. And he has to be removed from the building because he's just, you can't contain him.
Yes, because his war games have just begun.
Because his war games have just begun, Michael. Just begun.
Yeah.
Who would you like to see them put him with? I mean, like doing a lot of heavy lifting there, but who would you be least disappointed by?
That's the thing. I don't want to go into full nihilism territory for the second time on a Tuesday. Calm Tuesday of all Tuesdays. Of all Tuesdays. It's like Rusev Day, except every Tuesday is Calm Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's...
Weirdly, from what I've heard, that was pretty much the gist of Rusev Day as well.
Yeah. I don't think any of these talents are going to develop.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, at some point, you put him in there with the Kyle O'Reillys, he's gone. You put him in there with Pete Dunne, he's an idiot who signed a contract for 3 years. They're going to have to get better at some point.
Right.
Even though it's going to be like Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong just working all these guys like every week for about 3 years to get them ready for the main roster.
They're like 50 or 60.
So they don't care about putting heels and heels together in this promotion. So it could realistically be Pete Dunne, who I think is a babyface. Roderick Strong, I've got no idea. He last feuded with a more insufferable heel, but he's in a... Put him with Roderick Strong or Pete Dunne. In fact, put all of them with Roderick Strong and or Pete Dunne for a year, when they know no one's really watching, when they know there's enough people watching that USA Network, probably won't cancel them. To the total detriment of storyline continuity or fresh development, if they want these Goliaths to be able to work, just put them in there with Strong and Dunn. And that's not even a good way to develop talent. You want people to work different territories. You want them to work different styles. You want them to get over in front of different audiences. This isn't the WWE way. There's a ceiling to the WWE way. And the best way of doing it is through rote mechanics. And the best way of doing that is with guys who know what they're actually doing.
Well,
That's the boring answer.
I would say genuinely, we have done stupendously well to get that much airtime out of the sentence. Von Wagner will appear.
Yes.
So well done us, and let's move on. Grizzled Young Veterans versus the Creed Brothers. There's a match.
Now, you say that NXT 2.0 is your mate at Christmas, and you never really check him.
I've got rid of Facebook. I've got no idea what he's doing during the year. So it's you just know he's going to be in that pub.
So you're probably unfamiliar with the Grizzled Young Veterans new act, their new gimmick.
I am still very much Grizzled Young Veterans classico.
Right.
Whenever I think about them, that is the zip up jacket and the full sail neck beards.
Yes.
That's what comes to mind with me. Would you give me a quick crash course on the new
indeed
aesthetic?
Indeed. Right. So in WWE, you can't just simply be a professional wrestler.
No.
If you have a characteristic as a professional wrestler, that has to be completely amplified.
Yes.
And ideally removed from the pro wrestling context almost altogether. So the idea is the Grizzled Young Veterans are a heel unit.
Yes.
Who distract referees in order to get the double team advantage. Right.
God.
To make
despicable.
That.
Despicable.
Yes. Easily understandable. The median age viewer of this program is 62 years old. So they should kind of understand how traditional tag team psychology works in this regard. Well, they don't. Because the Grizzled Young Veterans, in order to express what they do in the ring, away from that boring ring as possible, to make it comprehensible to the olds that they are getting and to the youth who might not know anything who they are targeting, they now distract Uber drivers to steal their food deliveries so that when they go to deliver the food, they're like, where's the food? Oh, those Grizzled Young Veterans have distracted the Uber driver, retrieved their produce, and are now scoffing it.
What?
So now, the audience has an idea of what they can do. They can apply this to the ring.
I, the viewer, now understand that these are duplicitous, conniving, scheming men.
Yes.
And I truly hope that the heroes that are put in there to face them do not come a cropper in the same way as an Uber driver would.
Indeed.
Because obviously, happening to an Uber driver who, in his place of work, does not expect to be tricked or to be made a mug of. His guard is down, understandably. Yes. But surely, that can't happen to experienced professional wrestlers who know this about the grizzled young veterans and who must be, you know, head must be on a swivel at all times.
Yes, unfortunately.
You are joking.
Unfortunately.
You jest.
It's a transferable skill.
Well, I am stunned.
That they didn't need to learn because they were already NXT UK Tag Team Champions.
Ah, of course, that's correct, isn't it?
And they were heels at the time.
They were.
And they successfully distracted the referee to the completion of their goal.
You don't... I mean, obviously, we neither you nor I can accurately foresee the future. We'd be very rich men if we could, but you don't believe that perhaps this is a fate that could befall the Creed brothers this evening, do you?
Potentially. The Grizzly Young Veterans have arrived at this match because the Creed brothers had a match with someone last week, or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, where Grizzly Young Veterans were providing commentary duties.
Right.
Zach Gibson did call Wade Barrett a grass, which was amusing.
Objectively very funny, yes.
So they removed themselves from commentary, and everyone buried this as the worst finish ever, and I'm like, is it the worst finish ever? Or is there a kernel of, like, is there a kernel here? The Grizzly Young Veterans got up from commentary, and they removed the tag rope, right?
Right.
So the referee, and then they went back, and the referee wouldn't let someone tag in
because there's no tag rule. Well, that's correct application of the rules.
I didn't think it was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I think that sounds actually quite clever.
It was pretty dumb.
Yeah,
the referee could just go, oh, well, that's disappeared, but it's pretty shan. But maybe the referee thought, you know, this is more time than anyone dedicates about talking about this program.
Well, here we are.
On the Wrestling Observer Radio, on the Raw Review podcast, they also preview AEW and NXT in a tight 50.
Well,
they do NXT and Alvarez as well. We've got to talk about this NXT 2.0 show. Dave Meltzer audibly goes,
look, mate, business 101. You can't just be doing what everyone else is doing. Maybe there is an audience out there that does want a tight 30 or 40 preview in NXT.
I mean, I do. Yeah, maybe.
And if they do, mate, then we are as duty bound as that referee was to not allow the tag.
This match will be nowhere near as good as it could be in any other promotion. That's the gift of WWE that no one gets. You put these talents in any other promotion and the match is going to be better, right? But this is the bigger one, and it's the most successful.
Look,
it sucks.
You've really sold me on the reinvention of Grizzled Young Veterans here, and I, for one, cannot wait until this evening to see what scamps and tricks and what underhand methods they use to overcome the Creed brothers.
Who are a heel team.
Yes.
Who are situationally babyfaced by proxy because the leader of the stable just wrestled a more insufferable heel.
Good, right. So after that,
he's a heel now because he wrestled Bron Breakker last week.
Well, at the time of recording. Who knows what he's going to be by the time that match starts.
Yes.
Well, Trick Williams versus Dexter Lumis.
Trick Williams, earnestly great.
Right.
He's the hype man for Carmelo Hayes. He's his mate. Going down the line here to the start of the podcast, when I was saying, like, oh, he is, you know, this guy's mate. He's been around the whole time. You just never saw him once. That was Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. It's like, oh, yeah, it's Trick. Yeah, you know Trick. It's like, no, first time ever. Don't lie to me.
Ah, you know Trick. You know Trick. You met Trick.
Ah, I met Trick.
You're that boy.
Trick's patter is supreme. I hope he gets a chance to talk, but if he doesn't, right, he's in there with a babyface serial killer.
Yeah.
Which is just so NXT. I love it.
Slash Shagger.
Yes.
I was around. I bore witness to the quick reinvention of Dexter Lumis as a power bottom. That was interesting. Yeah.
Yes. So basically,
want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You might get a little...
Power bottom's throwing you there.
Yeah, it has. You might get a shred of actual DP decent patter.
Yep.
Because Trick Williams is like a really great, expressive, charismatic dude who's like quite funny and he knows his role as a comedic foil quite well. Him reacting to scary serial killer stuff
would be good.
Might be WWE good.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I have no idea. I remember, as I was saying before, there was that little vibe I had at the time of my... exit from the NXT review show here at What Culture. God, I made it sound like I got cancelled there. When I stopped doing it.
Yes.
The only real person that hadn't been there at the start...
No one who ever worked at What Culture could ever get cancelled.
As it stands right now, that's technically true.
Fast or present.
Yeah, they'll get cancelled after they leave, which is quite handy. Dexter Lumis was the only person who really felt that he was not there at the start. He did not exist when they moved to television. And now he feels... like he's either part of the furniture or reasonably placed, or he feels like an important part of that brand. Is his work? I wasn't particularly impressed by his work. Got more ups and downs. Didn't hate the character because it felt original, but he was like, there was him and there was Cameron Grimes, and that was kind of it.
Just loads of kick pad lads who are good at wrestling otherwise.
Yeah, and it was just like, and to see he's still there because he's got that kind of like. I don't know, though you will have some better verbiage for this than I have. There's something about Dexter Lumis that the soap opera, the washed out has been soap opera writers who do Raw and SmackDown. I cannot believe one of them's gone, please can I have Dexter Lumis to do something stupid with for 3 weeks and then completely forget about. I cannot believe that hasn't happened to him yet. Because, as you say, there is an expressive quality to him. There is a very obvious, here is this man's gimmick. He stares a lot. And that's normally the kind of thing they latch onto, like a goddamn limpet mine, and ruin in the space of like a month. How has that not happened? How is he still there?
He's not the youngest. But like all the main roster guys are 40 anyway.
Well, I'll put it this way. Boogs is a classic example.
Yes.
Because... I couldn't believe they didn't give him like a good spot during the initial waves of lockdowns where there was no crowd. Because if anybody was going to make that show feel like there was a crowd there, it's a man pretending he's playing to a huge crowd. I couldn't believe they couldn't find a way to use him during that. But somebody on the main roster went, oh, this guy's like, he's like heavy metal and he screams and he plays guitar. Oh, yeah, I could just have him do that exact thing on television for 3 months. Dexter Lumis is exactly that same kind of character. There is a repeatable joke in that, which they will not get tired of making until they forget to make it.
Yes.
And I can't believe he's still there.
It's odd. He kind of... he's really boring and he serves no purpose. We've had several in-depth discussions about the very purpose of Dexter Lumis. Okay. He will defeat Trick Williams to do the boring actual remit of the podcast. He will defeat Trick Williams and have a title match with North American champion Carmelo Hayes, both of which will be tedious.
Right. I've got nothing further to add to that. That's probably if that's what's gonna happen, says Rick, then that's what's.
If you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Look, I'm a bit excited here because obviously you are aware how much of the office patter I have been exposed to.
Yes.
Right? And it gives
glad he said that, not subjected to.
No, exposed around. I join in where I can, but I'm always worried about looking like Richard Hammond sometimes because you all come downstairs and it's clearly, you know, you've unearthed another gem through the medium of the podcast. And I understand the joke. I get it. I'm not like pretending I understand. I get the joke. I wasn't there for it.
Yeah.
It's not my joke, but I do really want to be involved in it. So it gives me genuine tingles of excitement to say that the next announced match is it's Peter Dune versus Tony D'Angelo.
Tony D'Angelo.
How's he getting on?
It's not as fun as it was. I'm so sorry. He's... Well, we need to play the game.
Okay.
It's the D'Angelo predictor. That's Wilborn's pronunciation. I'm trying to tell him. Italian-Americans.
Right.
Here we are satirizing through the lens of WWE's caricature.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In caricature, they end words that end in OR with like, predictor.
Predictor.
But his is predictor because he's an idiot.
Yes.
So what we tend to do is think of something that he's going to say and something that he's going to do.
Okay.
So what you got to work with here is that he's wrestling a match with a pretty dry but excellent... But English guy. So can you do... You might do a pre-tape. In this context, we'll say he's going to do a pre-tape promo.
Okay.
This is the big challenge. We can all do quasi-problematic impressions depending on the region, so don't get touched.
Okay.
Can you do... This is the layer. This is what makes a good impressionist in when neither of those things.
Yep.
Can you do Tony D'Angelo talking in a Brum accent? So the layer is Italian-American makes a man from Birmingham using a specific word, which you'll win the prize.
The prize.
Tomorrow, if you get it right.
Okay. A specific word.
It's got to be Italian-American doing Brum.
Okay. All right. So you'd be standing. You'd be standing in a meat market.
Yes. Right. Like this.
Okay. You'd be standing in a meat market. It'd be bustling around him, right? He'll be talking to somebody off camera, and then all of a sudden you realize the camera's there. He'd be like, "Hey, Pete Dunne, I hear you're from the Queen's England. How do you do, matey?"
That's not bad.
How do you do, Governor? Well, I'll tell you how you're gonna do. You're gonna do bad. Oh, I could have done better than bad. You're gonna do what you gonna do, Pete Dunne? You're gonna do nothing. You're going to do nothing, Pete Dunne.
Nothing.
That's how you're doing, bruv. From Birmingham, England.
Birmingham.
The only ham I know about is Serrano ham. And I'm going to put you in my meat slice, and that's the last anybody's going to see of you. How you doing? I don't know why I went Enzo.
We'll always go Enzo. You've joined it.
You've got to go Enzo.
You've joined it. We always do Enzo at the end of Tony D'Angelo.
There you go. So the MacGuffin here is the word ham. And the comparison is going to be made between Birmingham and him putting Pete Dunne in one of those nice slices you get at the Morrison's Deli counter. Making wafer-thin slices of Pete Dunne. That's the angle he's going
to
go.
I like that, but the problem is it's too committed. They used to have fun with the stereotype, but over the recent weeks it feels like they've lost interest in the novelty that is Tony D'Angelo, as illustrated by in War Games, and was almost pitiable. Tony D'Angelo did nothing. It was like, it was almost noticeable how little he did. He's like, Tony D'Angelo.
You're telling me that his War Games are still yet to begin?
Yes. It was like, you know, the anti-Hook thing where everyone's like, oh, what's Hook going to do? When's Hook going to do it? Tony D'Angelo's like, oh, Tony D'Angelo's doing nothing and I've got no anticipation for it. For my Tony D'Angelo predictor, I think that he's simply going to wrestle a really long match. That's incredibly... The proximity of the mat is going to be so dull. It's going to be like watching Dory Funk Jr. How are you doing?
Wow. Wow.
And people like Dory Funk Jr.
Do you know if I don't know? This is... I don't know why I'm admitting this, because it adds nothing to what you're saying and also just makes me sound like an idiot.
Yes.
I genuinely thought for years and years, Dory Funk Jr. was one of Mick Foley's kids. I thought he just called his kid Dory Funk Jr. Foley.
Because he loves Terry Funk.
Yes. I don't know where. I'm sure. I think maybe he's got another kid that has a name that's something Dewey. Like Dewey, that's it. And my brain.
Dewey Foley.
My brain just went, well, I've got two facts here and I can't be bothered to keep them both. So we'll just make them, we'll merge them as one. At some point, you can separate them when you need that information. Then lo and behold, I had nothing to do with pro wrestling in any capacity for about 10 years of what was actually a fairly well decorated, successful journalism career. And then I came here, but I was unable to separate those two facts. So every time someone was talking about Dory Funk Jr., I thought that was one of Mick Foley's kids. And he just called one of his kids, Dorian Funk Jr. Foley. I don't know why I don't know I'm telling you that. Anyway, Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. It's a street fight.
It's a street fight.
It's a street fight.
It is a street fight.
And I would just, I would like to opine here as somebody who saw many of the initial, the genesis of the beginning of the origins of Dakota Kai versus Raquel Gonzalez. Dakota Kai, absolutely excellent in these kind of gimmick matches where there's some kind of, she sells so well.
Yes.
She's got that Sasha Banks thing of you thinking, oh, she's, that's a terrible botch. And it's actually not. She just sells really well. She's really good at that. She's got her expressiveness in the dying embers of these matches where you need to believe she is out on her arse but is determined to not get beat. She's great at that. And also Raquel Gonzalez is brick. So I actually think this would be quite good.
Well, not to piss on your chips, but Dakota Kai's got a new gimmick.
She's got pink hair, yes.
She's the Joker, baby. But seriously, she does this thing where she's got like a head tilt and like kind of a tick, and she's a bit like unhinged because of how this dissolved friendship has like hurt her soul. And she has this tick, and I'm not kidding when I say this. We usually play like two truths and a lie sometimes as well. I will tell you no lies on this podcast, and I'm an honest man. She is in fact so unstable mentally, Dakota Kai, which we can tell by her twirling around in maniacal laughter and head tilts. Like, you know, the jarring head tilt of, oh, and it's like, you're meant to be like,
what am I going to do now?
Yeah, you're meant to be scared. Like, oh, God, the mood has changed. Yeah. Last week, she's in a promo segment with someone called Cora Jade, like really young lass. Bodied Darby Allin on Twitter recently. That was funny. And
Viewers, you can't see this, but I've never seen a man winding up more to say something that wasn't Will Bourne doing an accent
I'm not formulating fiction in my head. I'm just trying to get the exact verbiage. So Cora Jade's like 20 or something. I don't know how old Dakota Kai is, but she's certainly not old enough to be Cora Jade's mother, I don't think.
Biologically, if Cora Jade is 20-ish,
21 maybe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, you're right on the red line for this.
Well,
right,
the Alabama red line.
You're on the Alabama red line. Not the church red line, on the Alabama red line.
Because the church one's like much...
5, yeah.
30?
Dakota Kai's 33.
All right.
So Cora Jade is 20. Obviously, again, for the scores of women who listen to all our wrestling output, going, God, don't you know anything about the female reproductive organs and the uterus and all this stuff? Like, yes. Well, but I know enough. I know enough to get by my life, but rarely does this come up on a podcast of could one of these women be the other's mother?
So Cora Jade goes, something to the effect of, you're not my mom, or thanks, mom, as if to say, I'm younger and hotter than you, because it's all about sex. Mm. For a brief moment, Dakota Kai looks inward and asks herself,
did I shag her dad?
Yeah, am I her mother? she's confused by getting called back because she's this unstable and she's this coiled to attack at any moment that when Cora Jade's like, mom's an insult because she's older. Huh? That's how unstable. So think of what she could do in a street fight. Yeah, that's the implication. And this will be a very, very great match.
Yeah.
Ruined by the fact that they are going to make Dakota Kai, one, go crazy. Two, because it's NXT, there was a previous interaction with Dakota Kai when she was just getting into character about a month ago where she was going to attack Cora Jade with a famous prop shovel.
Yeah.
Which is going to undermine the whole idea of violence tonight. And then, in a conflict, told her to not do that.
They're in a conflict?
Yeah, because these characters are textured, they're layered, they're sophisticated.
Yeah, obviously.
This match is going to suck when it should rule. You'll get some good violent spots in it for all the reasons you genuinely eloquently outlined, but they are going to ruin it with their terrible characterization and the imposition of melodrama.
Well, I agree with that. I genuinely hope that that's inaccurate and overly harsh and possibly a bit, what's the word I want?
Cynical.
Not cynical. Because I think it's earned what you've said there. I don't think it's cynical. The pessimistic.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what we do have reason to be optimistic for. What can't possibly disappoint AJ Styles, in the middle of doing nothing on Monday Night Raw at the minute, finally, a good use of it.
Yes.
Currently completely free as a bird.
Yes.
Is appearing to feud with Grayson Waller. Because Grayson Waller made fun of his hair on Twitter. So AJ Styles, now the speculation is, will be going to NXT in some capacity for a prolonged period of time. And Grayson Waller, for some reason...
Grayson Waller is the guy around whom NXT has just inexplicably become built.
Grayson Waller is this example we've got now of all the names on NXT all sound like lower league English football players.
Yes. Yep. So Grayson Waller is the guy who is kind of retired Johnny Gargano, and if he wasn't directly responsible, he made sure he went away forever, or went away on a bad note because he beat him up when he was cutting his tearful goodbye promo.
That's heat.
Grayson Waller last week was billed as the guy who he's such a heel with such heat with a locker room with everyone that everyone hates him, and they were doing the show long storyline where even like the heels were being dicks to him because that's how bad he is. And noted industry veteran Bron Breakker kicked him out of the locker room like he was Bob Holly in 2006.
That's honestly, it's not the joke, is it? It's the delivery of the joke. And that example, what that was that? Yes.
Thank you. So Grayson Waller's like the big Uber heel, essentially.
Uber heel, yeah.
And I suspect AJ Styles is being parachuted into NXT 2.0 for all of maybe 2 weeks if they do like a, I don't know the schedule, but they might well tape next week's 2.0 after tonight. So the idea is they could set up a match tonight with some angle or other and then do a match that will 1,000,000% go to a non-finish next week because they don't want to beat a guy from Raw who needs to preserve his value ahead of a big match with the Moss, who's a bigger project than Grayson Waller, and nor do they want to beat Grayson Waller because he's the new heel of the brand.
I'm not overly familiar with Grayson Waller, but I've just looked him up while you've been talking there. And he looks, to me, as if Dexter Lumis did a cameo on Saved by the Bell as a wrestler.
Yes.
And it was like, oh, look, it's outside of his range. He's trying to prove he can act a bit, and he's got a bit of range. He just looks... This is now the warm center of the universe that NXT is currently orbiting around.
You know what? I can actually do three truths and a lie, right?
Oh, yeah.
So let us just give us a minute.
Three truths?
Three truths and a lie. Because he's had three gimmicks, right?
Okay.
I'm going to think of it just a Rolodex randomly.
It's in there somewhere.
Just a randomly generated thing that... Right.
Okay.
Which of these is Grayson Waller not? He's three of them.
Has been separately in the past?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boxing Golden Gloves champion.
Okay.
Adrenaline junkie.
Okay.
Social media influencer.
Okay.
Fanny magnet.
Oh, wow. Okay, sorry, just right. So Golden Gloves boxer.
Yep.
Adrenaline junkie. So like extreme sports. Yeah. Social media influencer.
Yep.
Or fanny magnet.
Yeah.
Well, speaking as all four, I find the least likely one there to be. I'm gonna use a bit of deductive reasoning here. I'm going to say probably not the social media influencer because they did do a bit of the whole selfie thing while Austin Theory was on the brand and continues to do a bit of that while he's on the main roster. And I think they would see that as exactly the same thing and wouldn't do it twice.
Regrettably, you are the worst, the most wrong.
The most wrong.
Because he's been all four, I tricked
you.
Week to week, the character changed and it's now primarily the social media influencer.
Hey, can I just say, by the way, your little... That look of panic on your face, you realised there was dead air involved while you were thinking that I've never been sold a faint like that in my life.
Thank you.
I was like, do I have to stall for time? So he's got, I can see he's really trying to think of this. Oh, yeah, good. Oh, good of him. And you've done me. You've done me a kipper, have you?
Done you a kipper. So that's his gimmick.
He's all four.
But he's all four. The most prominent is the social media influencer because the idea is, that's what kids like.
That is what kids like.
So they're trying to connect with the kids. Mm. Catholic priests have been more successful connecting with kids in NXT 2.0.
That's why I should have done this joke before the podcast.
I know. But it's just, it's absolutely worthless. As soon as I saw AJ Styles doing something with Grayson Waller, I'm thinking, none of this will matter. There'll be no conclusion to any of this. But this show desperately needs a shot in the arse,
hey,
ratings-wise.
By the sounds of it, it sounds like they've gone and picked the most Gen Z wrestler they've got on the roster with, let's face it, wrestling's premier boomer. And that's a feud I can get behind for WrestleMania.
Yes.
It's intergenerational war as well as interpromotional. This is level of storytelling nuance I don't normally expect from this company.
Because AJ Styles is like 40 years old. And he should be 80.
I would say 44 AJ Styles.
And he's got the values of someone way older.
44.
Is he?
44.
He still gets about like that.
44. He's, I was hoping me and you, yeah. Like.
He's class at his craft. He's class at his craft. You know what? You've removed the cynicism from me. Because that's genuinely a good premise.
A good angle.
It won't conclude.
They'll absolutely not do it that way. But yes. Yeah, you can. You can headcanon your own good reason for this to happen, which you tend to have to do with WWE. Right. I don't want us hitting the hat trick of Catholic Church sex offense jokes. So I'm gonna wrap us up there before you get on to his Jesus. All right. So we've done 40 minutes on this, which is more than anybody ever wants to hear.
Is this an elaborate setup joke for an unannounced Jerry Lawler return?
No, but imagine if it was. And our seventh thing tonight. And yes, if legal are listening to that, I will cut. Just drop me an email very urgently. Right, so Michael Sidgwick, thank you so much for enduring yet another podcast with me today. We've previewed NXT 2.0. As I'm now.
Why the sickness? Are you down with the sickness?
Ooh, yes, thank you very much. Yes, good. Yes, that, you know what? That's good. That's an assist. I'll give you that one. Right. If you're a fan of this sort of thing, and let's face it, after the last 40 minutes, how could you not be? You can subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review and preview Raw, SmackDown, AEW, NXT 2.0, and whatever else is on that particular week. Pay-per-views and stuff like that, interviews, roundtables, discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz.
It's a bloody challenging quiz.
Just a bloody good quiz on wrestle culture, card subject to change, of course. But in the meantime, Sidgwick, where can they get you on Twitter?
M. Sidgwick.
Get me at Adam Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y. Get the entire What Culture Wrestling family at What Culture WWE. But until tomorrow, we'll be telling you all about how good this was. You can't see the look I'm giving you. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Trap.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.